If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Rebiz podcast. And I'm joined by a man who's normally playing 10 for a rugby union side, but this week was just watching rugby league. What's happened?
Well, Clodagh's. It's simple. You know, Richmond played on Friday night. I wasn't involved again for the team. They went up to Nottingham. Unfortunately, lost by 1 point.
Oh,
gutting.
So still
gutting.
Relegation zone?
Still near the bottom. Not relegation, okay, mate. Okay. But they're doing all right. And I just thought, you know, life is about trying things.
Yeah.
And I'd never been to a rugby league game. And boy,
did you enjoy it?
It was an experience, mate. I sort of went there, sort of trying to. I fly the flag for the union.
Yeah.
For the union boys, just show these rugby league guys, you know, what we're all about. I told all my friends. I took two mates down. I said, look, don't call me Archie today. Call me Lash Gordon.
Right. Okay.
And we got there, and it was a spicy atmosphere. It was pretty loose. A lot of Northerners.
Right.
Something I've not been around a lot in my life.
Okay. How did you adapt?
It took a while. Luckily, I've been reading a few SAS books.
Right,
so
okay.
I just sort of kept my head down, observed. And what I could tell, I just sort of said the odd thing, get ball! Get ball out! Get ball out! But yeah, no, it was interesting. I would say hospitality really needs a bit of work on there. It's certainly no Twickers.
What happened?
Well, I know when you go to Twickers, there's a real buzz. You know, you're just drinking warm Guinness. You're surrounded by other people wearing gilets.
Yes.
That's one thing I noticed. There weren't a lot of gilets there.
Oh, God.
The hospitality had the vibe of a service station on the M1.
Right.
A lot of people on their last legs, quite a lot of big wobbly chassis. And there wasn't a real buzz. You couldn't get out. Security was tight. You couldn't go out.
Couldn't hit back for a ciggy.
Well, no, because, you know, I do enjoy a dart.
You love a stadium cig, don't you?
I do enjoy a dart when I'm drinking. Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of young kids watch this.
Yeah.
An odd dart's okay. It's a good look.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you're a single
in a stadium.
Guy. Yeah, take a break, have a quick dart.
So did you meet any Northerners? Did you become friends with them?
Seats were brilliant on the halfway line. England got pummeled. But the highlight of my whole experience was I sat next to a guy called Paul from Wigan and his son, Greg.
Right.
Who were both, his son was 14 years old, lovely guy. They were both chinning rum and cokes the whole way through.
Both of them?
Yeah. And they had a wonderful father and son relationship where he'd send his son out to go and get him rum and cokes. Even though he got braces on, he was getting served, which I thought was, which was lovely. And actually it added to the atmosphere of the stadium.
Well, we're talking about sort of parent and son, parent daughter relationships.
Yes. Yeah.
We've got Halloween coming up.
Yeah.
Are you celebrating?
Ooh, spooky. You know what is a spooky fact, actually?
What?
I was sort of looking through my deal sheet this week and I realized that in the past 5 years, I've never not done a deal in Halloween week.
Really?
Ooh, spooky.
That should be. That's a live button.
If we had a button,
well, that was
would
a
be
live
really,
button.
Yeah, so like a live button. I could sort of do that off,
yeah, yeah.
off
do
the
live
cuff.
Buttons.
No, but no, you know me, Clodagh. I love Hallers.
Yeah.
That's what I call Halloween, Hallers. And over the past couple of years, it's been one of my favorite weekends.
Right.
Just a great, great chance to get dressed up. Saturday night is Inferno's fancy dress.
Okay.
And I'll be going as Russell Crowe from Gladiator, who's been drowned. Spooky.
Why has he been drowned?
Well, I was just trying to change up. Obviously, last year I did Russell Crowe as the Hulk from Gladiators. That was just me and the Russell Crowe, the Gladiator regalia, but all green. So my shass was out. But I still got the same kit. And I do love going as Gladiator because it's just like me in a little skirt. You get your whole legs out. So, I've got good legs.
Yeah, you do have good legs.
And then you get your shass out. It's just simple and effective. And if you do want to do a bit of snogging, it's a good look. So I just tried to change. But this year I'm going as Russell Crowe's drowned.
So what's that look like?
It's just me in the kit, but I'm just having like wet look gel in my hair and it'll be quite cool.
Yeah.
So looking forward. But the other thing I love about Halloween, okay, and this is me
Hallows,
wearing my business cap.
Hallows.
I have a number of caps. I have my rugby cap. I have my business cap.
Yeah.
I had my lash cap.
Yeah.
I have
not your dating
caps.
Cap, though, do you?
No, not at the moment.
No.
I do sometimes put the dating cap on, but it's difficult. It's a single father.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Going back to that, what I love about Halloween is a wonderful business opportunity. Before I had my daughter, Johnny Jono, I always thought I would love to go out trick-or-treating. And I'll tell you why, but I couldn't. You know, I was...
It's creepy.
I was a guy in my, you know, my 20s. Now I'm now...
30s.
I'm now 30.
Yeah,
The thing is, you just can't go out and knock on doors as a single bloke.
It's weird.
It's a little bit creepy.
It's illegal, almost.
Plus, I don't like sweets, okay? It's really bad for the shat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now I've got Johnny Jono, it's just a wonderful, wonderful BD opportunity. Because where I live in Clapham, there are so many high net worth individuals, but I don't know where they live.
No.
I can't follow them home. I mean, I have one or two because...
You have.
I know who they are.
Okay.
I know, you know, for instance...
Not in a creepy way.
There's a guy who's high up at HSBC. I always see him. And one day, I found out where he lived. Just in case,
just follow
them. Yeah. That's okay.
Okay.
But I don't know where they all are.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I wander around with little Johnny Jono. She knocks on doors. They open up. And you can tell if they're a person you might want to connect with.
Right.
Just by the decor of the house and the sweets they give. So now, Halloween for me on Friday, I'm very excited because... Johnny Jono gets dressed up. She'll go, I don't know, Nanny will dress her up. We'll go round. We'll go to her house. She'll get the sweets and I'll get a LinkedIn connection.
So you're going to be wearing the Russell Crowe outfit for that as well?
No. I'll just go in suit because I want to set the impression, the tone.
Okay.
So I go in business suit. I'll probably go as Christian Bale from Psycho.
What?
Yeah. That's quite a good look.
Okay.
You know? Well, I'll just put like some creatine underneath my nose.
And then
kids love it.
Just before we get our guests on, yeah. If somebody comes to Casa de Curzon,
yes,
to come trick or treating,
yes,
do you look after them or not? Do you,
yeah,
do,
yeah,
do you
yeah.
trick
well,
them? Do you
look,
treat them?
I do not like sweets.
Right.
And
okay.
Actually, all the stats that Johnny Jono gets, that she, I mean, I let her put it in a bucket, but she's not having any of it.
Straight in the face.
I throw it away.
Yeah, yeah.
I throw it in the tears.
Yeah.
But she's got to learn.
Yeah,
she's not putting that stuff in her body.
No.
But at my house, when they come around, I make homemade protein balls for the children. Yeah, delicious. It's dates, cashew nuts, peanut butter,
right.
Flax seeds,
wow.
And chicken skins are grinded down in a bowl. It's delicious.
Oh,
and
true.
I have three or four of those a day. So no, I'm really excited about Halloween. It is, for me, I prefer it than Christmas.
Well, it sounds like you've got some incredible plans. We've also got some incredible plans because we've got the wonderful Curtis Pritchard,
yes,
on the show.
We are
boxer,
we are
influencer,
we are a rugby podcast,
dancer,
ahead of the Autumn Internationals. And who have we got?
A boxer, influencer, dancer.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Well, let's bring him on.
Yeah, let's get Curtis Pritchard in, yeah. More lash, I need more
lash. Well, we've got the incredible Curtis Pritchard. You're looking beautiful.
Well, thank you very much. Do I not normally look like this?
I don't know. You look better in real life.
Yeah, you do. You look in great shape.
You know what? I've got to give it to the boxing. I've really,
really?
Tried to trim myself down and look in shape. But people do say I look better in real life.
I just don't
think my face is for TV.
Gorgeous eyes.
You look younger. I mean, do you fast?
No, I don't. Do you fast?
I fast, yeah.
I've been through the fasting phase.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to do a four-day fast.
Yeah,
I want to see what it's like to a 4-day one.
I'm on day six right now.
You look great.
Yeah, I feel
malnourished.
People say I've got a pregnancy glow about me.
You do.
Yeah,
your skin's looking great.
You say I'm not feeling that good.
Yeah.
Feeling a little bit dizzy.
You're a bit lightheaded. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Are you actually on a 6-day fast?
Yeah, 6 days. Nothing in the body. Not even water.
A cigarette.
Cigarette.
Yeah.
Well, I went to rugby league on the weekend, so I did actually have some bit, but yeah.
You said that sweat is just fat crying. I mean, that is a quote from Mr. Archie Curzon, right? That's incredible.
Yeah, I like that actually.
Yeah.
I think of it more as just detoxing your soul.
Yeah.
From all of your nightmares.
I was loving the shots of you in the bath last night. You're out of hot water. What the fuck was going on?
Oh, don't.
What was happening? I don't know.
You weren't, what?
As soon as you actually said that, I was thinking, how the hell did you know I was in the bath for a second then?
Well, it's a bit of research, yeah. But then you did post it.
So I was training yesterday, came back, I thought, I'm going to run a nice hot bath, get some Epsom salts in there, relax, chill out, you know, after all my boxing training and stuff, I need it.
Yeah.
Jumped straight into it and it was lukewarm. In fact, it was cold and lukewarm.
Oh.
I live in a block of flats. We should have
24/7
hot water.
Whereabouts are you based in London, roughly?
Chiswick area.
Okay, nice.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Lovely part of the world.
Near Richmond, though.
To be honest, that...
Yeah, South Acton.
Were you playing rugby?
To be honest, that's a nice surprise, guy. I prefer a cold bath than a hot bath.
See, I do them, but I do them for recovery, not for, like, enjoyment. Right, you know what I mean? I'm going to have a nice half an hour like relaxation, maybe have some alone time, but quiet. No, I like hot bath.
I mean, sometimes when I go, I live in Clapham, Curtis, and I'm like the CEO of Clapham, so I look after that area. And a lot of the time I spend in Infernos on the weekend. And you talk about Epsom salts and relaxation. When I take a said lady back to my house...
Doesn't happen much.
It doesn't, but when it does, so it's straightforward. I bring them back. I put on Living with the Lions. Do you know that? It's the rugby, the British Lions documentary. From 1997, wonderful bit of documentary. I sit them down. I've always got some chicken prepared. I make them some chicken, and then I run upstairs, and then I have a bath, an Epsom salt, just for recovery. Well, I want to get the blood flow. I want to get the
blood flow. So you leave them a chicken and the Lions.
Yeah,
you go for a bath.
Yeah, and then I come down in a dressing gown, but I'm fully ready to go. I have a hot bath, which takes me about 10 minutes. I just zone out. I just sing down and I think, okay, what have you got to do? Okay,
what do you have?
There are some spots you got to remember because it's. It's quite complicated. A woman's body is quite complicated.
And you've been out of the game for a while now.
Yeah. And then what I do is I let the bath out. I shout down, I'll be 5 minutes. And then I just run a cold bath, get in, have a cold bath to just spice up the adrenaline and get the blood flowing. And then I go down and, you know, I'll open up like, maybe don't eat all that chicken. You want to leave a little bit more.
See, now, I thought that's the wrong way around, really, because wouldn't you have a cold bath then a hot bath so you're all warm and ready down below? You know what I'm saying?
No.
All the way around is a bit embarrassing.
That's true, you're going to walk down with a... I mean, it's already small. You're part of the micropenis, but maybe you can get him as an investor. You need more investments.
One of the charities I work is quite a serious thing.
Why not? That's not funny.
Let's not make a joke about it. I'm an ambassador for the Micropenis Foundation. And no, actually, what I find is that it's quite a nice feeling because obviously things tense up, but as you get into flow, it's sort of, it's like it evolves.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it blooms like a beautiful flower.
Well, Curtis, what's your routine when you bring a girl back? Because you've dated some of the most famous girls in the country.
Yeah, God knows how, to be fair. If you want the honest
truth, no, you're a good looking
guy.
I've
got no routine. My routine is. No, but I've not even been on any dates since been on Love Island or anything.
Really?
I have been celibate, pretty much. That's the right word, isn't it?
Really? Yeah.
Absolutely not.
You're not on the apps?
Nothing, mate. Why not? Nothing. I went on the apps for 2 weeks once in my life.
What happened?
I got paid to use the app and then, never used it again.
I get paid to use LinkedIn.
I'm absolutely useless at the moment. Really? Done nothing. All
you
of them
haven't been on
is...
a date since LinkedIn, since Love Island.
Okay, I went on one
go
day.
Go on. What
one
happens?
Day.
What
we
happens?
Went go karting.
Yeah.
We went crazy golf after.
Is that a euphemism?
No, it's not. We went to the marina after that. Not another euphemism. Okay.
What marina? Chelsea Marina?
No, near Portsmouth, to be fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay.
Didn't even get a kiss and then I drove home.
Really?
Was that off a dating app?
No, that was... I met her at a festival.
Really?
Yeah, she was working, to
famous
be fair.
Famous or not?
No, not at all. Just lovely girl.
What's your problem?
Talk
you don't
to
be
me.
Dating peasants.
Just talk to me. Obviously, you're a very well-known figure and you've been
Thank
on
you.
Love Island yes, a few yeah. times yeah. and the Irish Strictly Come Dancing?
Yeah, for yeah, 3 yeah. years, yeah.
So obviously, you've got all these followers. How difficult is it to date? Do you think people have preconceived ideas from what they see on TV? How much of you is real in those TV shows? Against like how much you're in real life, because it is it
Good
difficult.
Question.
Do you think people get a little bit weirded out? They think they're going to get into with you, and everything's going to blow up for them. And are you wary of that?
To be fair, I try and be myself all the time, 100% of the time, even on a TV program or not on a TV program. I just try and be me. But I can't really answer that because I've not really done that many dates, and it's
really?
And that's why. And I think as well, maybe subconsciously, that's why I don't do loads of dates as well. Maybe because I'm like. One, I don't have the time because I want to focus on the things that I'm really enjoying at the minute, like my boxing.
Yeah, you're gymming.
All of this stuff. Yeah. But yeah, it's really time, so that's why.
Do you get anxious?
I don't even
out and, like, you know, you must have people on the tube. You have it occasionally in Clapham.
Oh, that's right.
But people looking at you being like,
Clapham,
oh, there's Curtis Pritchard.
Not just in Clapham, Balham as well.
No, well.
I do, but I'm quite a shy person at heart as well, to be fair. So sometimes if I make eye contact with someone, I'm like, and they make it back, I'm a bit like, oh.
Really?
What do I do now?
Yeah, it's bad.
You
it?
Love it. You ask them to take photos of you.
Oh, no, I'll go. If I catch eyes, okay, it is me.
Yeah.
We need to go out together.
Photos.
It would be dangerous.
Do you go out and clap them? I mean, you guys should do a double team.
So I did go out there. My cousin used to live there a couple of years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago. James Walker.
Yes, I know James.
No chance.
Yeah, I know everyone. Does he work in the city?
He's a personal trainer, to be fair, but he works everywhere depending on his clientele.
Okay.
So yes, really.
I think I know him. Walks. They call him Walks.
Yeah, we'll call him Walks. That's it.
So what was the night out like in Clapham?
Wild, to be fair. Yeah. Oh, what? Right. Obviously, you know Clapham.
Yeah.
So there's a place that is it's sort of like a tiki bar type style place. I can't remember what it's called. Downstairs is a little DJ booth and everything. It's really cool.
Megan's.
No.
Oh, right.
But that's a great breakfast place.
Yeah, they do, the best avocado there.
Yo, don't they? I always get like poached egg and avocado.
Oh, yeah. You guys are like...
Yeah.
The Long Lost Friends. We're actually thinking about making... This could be the beginning of an ITV8 show.
Like avatars.
Poached egg and avocado.
Just talk to me about the boxing. Because I'm interested. Obviously, like, this is your thing. And I saw that you're doing like Misfits. Just want to go off that. Because I was obviously coming here today and I was thinking about this. But would you ever consider doing bare knuckle boxing?
No.
Why not?
Right, purely because I do TV stuff and I do things like that. And bare knuckle boxing is a pure way to get your face scarred up.
Yeah.
I don't mind getting punched in the face, but bare knuckle, you will get scarred.
But what's your motivation with the boxing? Like with Misfits?
I always wanted to do it.
Okay, but where do you want to take it?
I want to be the heavyweight Misfits champion by the end of next year, and I definitely think that's possible.
Well, look,
if you want the honest truth,
you had a great fight. You nearly beat like a proper ex-boxer, right?
Yeah.
Now you're becoming one, but because you're in the room with the guy who's fought once, lost once. You've got an awful record, but
have you done a fight and stuff?
Oh yeah, big one.
Sold out. Clapton Town Hall.
Wandsworth Town Hall. Sold it out.
But Sky Sports were there.
Just didn't go to plan.
Preparation was poor.
Didn't realize it was a southpaw, did he?
Didn't realize it was a southpaw. Yeah.
Yeah, that can throw you.
That can. Yeah, yeah. And he was how tall are you, Curtis?
6'3".
Yeah, so 100
kg.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm 105 kg, but I'm
okay, unit.
6 foot. Yeah. I'm only 6 foot.
The
other guy was 6'4" and was a guy called Alex Payne. He's a Sky Sports presenter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
he is about 50.
I nearly got him out in the second round. But how many rounds is Misfits boxing?
So it all depends. Up to what mine was 5 rounds the last fight I did. So 5 3-minute rounds against 3 other opponents.
And is KSI looking after you with the cash in that?
I hope so. If I told you that, I'd have to kill you.
Well, please don't kill me. But it's a good business, though,
It is. To be fair, there's like 4 different owners between them all that do it and stuff.
Right, okay.
And if you are on the top in there, you get paid very well. I'll just let you know I'm not on the top just yet.
Right. So, you will be there.
But
soon, I will be.
How much FaceTime do you get with like KSI, those kind of people? Do you get
none at all? I bumped into him on the stairs after my fight for 2 seconds and I said, yo, KSI, and his security nearly knocked me out.
Really?
I'm not even joking.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And then he recognized it was me and he's like, oh, you've just fought. I was like, oh, he goes, well done and stuff. Hopefully see you on the next one.
But come
one.
On, you nearly beat that Tempo Art, an ex champ.
Yo, that final round, I beat him.
You said away.
Final round,
I watched it last night. Rewatched it.
He did for the first time, you mean?
No, rewatched it.
Did you enjoy it? What? 7 weeks of training. I thought I didn't do too bad, you know.
You did amazing.
I thought I did all right.
Yeah.
First 2 opponents on there, who were they? Big Tobes. Not very good boxer. Godson.
Who are you
going to
call
boxer.
Out next, though? Like, who do you want to fight next?
Well, I wanted to fight HS Tiki Toki.
Yeah. Ooh.
But he's in jail now. He's locked up.
Oh, who's, for what? He's so selfish.
Who is HS Tiki Toki?
HS Tiki Toki is... Well, I don't really know how to explain it. He does kick and stuff, but he drove someone... Well, I think he...
Is he actually in jail, this guy?
Yeah, he's in jail. He took his mate's McLaren, and he was on the run from the police for a year, I think, or something. So he took his mate's McLaren, he crashed it, crashed into another car or something. He left the person in the passenger seat or something. He didn't. He ran off. He did. And then I think he ran off to Dubai or somewhere.
Ooh,
and then basically the police were looking out for him for a year. And then he finally came back to England and they literally just grabbed him.
Heathrow. Right.
Well, because we get a lot of children watching this, so between 15 and 17, I would just say that is worth taking note. If you do something criminal, which camera I look at, if you're doing something criminal in the UK, then head to Dubai, but don't make the mistake of coming back.
Stay out there.
Send your family out.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And now you can be in touch with your family through video calls. So actually,
and they've opened loads of English prep schools out in Dubai.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's plenty to come back.
So don't come back. Don't make the mistake. So who's next on the hit list? And if HS Tiki Toki, it's a bloody good name.
Tempo Arts could be a good one to go back
rematch.
With.
Yeah, I'd
a little
like
rematch. Or Chase Damore for the belt, for the heavyweight belt.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Who's the heavyweight champion at the moment?
Chase Damore is his name. Okay. So he's an American guy, 6'6", I think he's about 105 kg.
Can you get a picture
that.
Of this guy? Let me have a look at him.
He's, he's caused some havoc in his TV life and in his boxing life.
Well, what's happened?
One person...
Just give it a bit of a rundown.
He's not too bad, you know. He's won a couple of fights, but, mate, one guy... He managed to drop, but then he carried on punching him on the ground. I was like, what is going on here? That is bang out of order in the boxing. That's how I think of it. Love to get in the ring with him and love to see...
Well, maybe call him out on this. I mean, like, how much is it the chat preempt the boxing? Like, How much do you need to have the C.H.A.T. chat?
It helps. It does help, okay. To be fair. But the problem is I've got no chat. I'm quite a nice guy. So
we can put you on his 3-week chat course.
Yeah, can we?
Yeah.
I'm for women as
so
well,
please. I hold many titles, Curtis.
There's Chase.
Okay.
Yeah, that's him, yeah.
Okay.
He's quite a big boy.
He's a big boy. Yeah. Okay, that's
but don't let that deceive you, though.
That's that one photo with him topless like that. That's quite a good idea for like a sort of LinkedIn profile.
Yeah,
could be my December silly season one.
Or Axe spray or something.
Yeah, I could. One thing I say, Curtis, is I'm known as the CEO of Clapham, but my advertiser is the chief chat officer. And I think sometimes, you know, you've got to have the chat. That is what gets you ahead in business. You've got to be confident.
Yeah.
You've got to be clear. You've got to have good communications in anything in life. So, you know, what's this guy called? Chase Damore.
Yeah,
Chase Damore.
Chase Damore. I mean, look, I'm not going to get involved with this guy.
Call him out.
I'll do it for you. Chase Damore. Okay, listen. Is he from America?
Yeah, it's America.
Listen, you absolute penis from USA. I'm here with Curtis and he thinks you're a fucking twat. And he's going to come for your belt. He's going to come for your jaw. You better get here quickly. Cause we're saying, do I get a cut of this?
Yeah.
We put music to that.
Yeah.
You've sometimes got to say it. I mean, on the rugby field, I'm all that. I just give it a lot. I play semi-professional rugby. And, you know, I'm just giving it all the time.
Yeah.
I say like, oh, nice calves, mate.
Yeah.
That's quite really good chat.
Hold my dancing shoes. Here I go.
Yeah. Chase them all. Nice calf. Get that clipped up. Nice calves, mate. Have you heard of tricep dips?
Yeah.
Has he got triceps?
I don't know, mate. He has got arms. I will give it to him. His physique is
he's good. Okay.
We've interviewed
Shane. Nice chassis, but like, have you got any chat?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, good
fun. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I could be like your hype man.
Yo, please come to my next fight.
Yeah,
I need you. And the press conference, I just have you there.
Have you heard of the squat rack?
I'll be like, yeah.
This is a beautiful partnership.
Yeah, I know. It could work. I could be like Jimmy the Mouth from WWF.
Yeah.
Do you remember that guy?
Yeah.
Be Archie the jaw.
Archie the chat.
Yeah, Archie the chat. Yeah.
We've interviewed Chris Billam-Smith, obviously a great boxer, Shane McGuigan, a great trainer. They both said that they don't let their fighters, or as a fighter, they don't sort of have sex or wank for 3 months in the build-up. Is that the same with you?
It's, the sex is, definite, because
I can't get it.
That's that.
Yeah.
But the other one is, I've been trying to, but I failed every day so far.
It's very hard to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips?
Would personally, this is a scientific thing, but actually relieving yourself, because I don't want to be too crude, because this is quite a highbrow podcast. Yeah.
Tyson Fury did say he does it 10 times a day.
Yeah, I do it twice a day.
Wow,
a day. Once in the morning and once at lunchtime.
Yeah.
Sorry. I do it twice a day, once in the morning and once at lunchtime, once at work.
Nice.
But obviously in the cubicle.
Well, obviously. Deep heat still?
No, I use deep heat. That's my go-to.
Not the freeze spray.
No, not the freeze spray. That would have the adverse effect. I have a cold bath, don't get me wrong, but DP, I will. And actually, it's very pleasurable for the girl, despite what you think, because they get like a tingly feeling when you make love. I just cover myself in DP.
Tiger bomb.
Yeah.
I worked in the kitchens once actually, and they dared me to have the world's hottest chili, and I actually truthfully made that mistake. I went to the toilet straight after
and had a wank.
No. Oh, right. I just went for a wee. Most brutalist thing I've ever done.
Oh
my god. No, it was fine. Just
what do you do? Put it in a pint of milk.
No comment.
No.
Yeah. Talking about Fury there, obviously your mates with his brother Tommy Fury.
Yeah, Tommy.
Right? Good guy. I mean, you must have had some good nights out. Two guys, over 6 foot, boxers.
We won't talk about the nights out.
Why not?
But, I think that was in the press just long enough.
What happened?
To be fair, Tommy's a lovely guy. We haven't had that many nights out together, really. Okay. But what a legend.
Yeah.
Truly really nice guy when you get to know him.
Have you met Tyson?
Through the phone, never in person.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I just know that he's an absolute unit. You see that door, he literally will not fit
through. Have you boxed with Tommy then?
Done a little bit, so years ago.
Do you reckon he beat him? I reckon he'd got him.
Right at this moment in time, Tommy would have me.
Really?
This moment in time.
I think you've got him.
Give it a year or something,
then
we'll
see.
No, I'm bigger.
Does he give you tips?
He did give me tips.
That's quite kind,
isn't
it?
Yeah.
And where did you met Tommy in Love Island?
Love Island, 2019.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Take us through that. We spoke to a couple of Love Islands.
Was that the beginning of it all, really? This is sort of 2009, you went to Love Island, and this is like the beginning of it all.
Beginning of everything in the UK, yeah. So I did Dancing with the Stars in Ireland for 3 years before that.
And I was a big fan of that, by the way.
Yeah. Well,
that was,
I had the worst record ever. I got eliminated week one, year one, got eliminated week two, year two. Year three, I actually...
This is not Love Island. This is...
No, this is Dance with the Stars.
You got beaten up, didn't you?
Year three, yeah. I got jumped in a nightclub, me and my brother.
What happened then?
On that? Yeah. Mate, completely random. So I was stood in front of my brother. My brother was literally to the left of me behind. We were minding our own business, just literally dancing. And then I just got pushed. Then I looked to my left and about literally 10 lads went for AJ. And I literally just, that's my brother, and yeah. I just pushed him out the way of my left arm and just stood there in front of these lads and literally just took a beating.
Why were they trying to beat AJ then?
Mate, drugged up people there. Right, okay. Good night.
Did they know who you were?
I wasn't famous at the time. Yeah. I'd done nothing, literally.
It was
nothing.
AJ
was on Strictly, but...
Yeah, Strictly Ireland. Strictly
it was
UK.
Our hometown, so I don't know if...
Where's your hometown?
Nantwich area, so just outside Stoke-on-Trent, born Stoke-on-Trent, lived in Cheshire.
Where Robbie Williams is from.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. That's all right, mate.
I'm so sorry. I've been to Stoke.
That's where the...
I went for Live Golf, to the JCB course.
So my... Yeah. No, wait.
Yeah.
It's funny you say this, actually. Yeah. My business partner, Wes Wilkes, he loves you.
Does he really?
And he's a member at JCB Golf Club.
Okay.
Yeah, and we were all at Live Golf, and he saw you and everything, actually.
Oh, really?
Actually, now that you said that, I've got a little present for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have to be.
What is it, Chris?
So, these are, actually, I just thought, because I said to my business partner, I'm coming on this today, and then he mentioned you and stuff.
Okay.
And then this is the last pack that we're actually golfing with these the other day. They're our own golf balls, so from our business, so okay. Fint Invest and Iron Market.
Okay.
Have a pack. If you ever go golfing, use them, enjoy.
Well, talk us through. Days. Yeah. Okay, hold on. Iron Marketing Wealth.
Yeah.
Something's okay. Saying all right.
Talk to me about what is Fint?
So Fint Invest is a financial investment app. It's discretionally managed. What that basically means is a team of experts move your money around for you.
Okay.
Basically. So it's all done for you in a way. Mm. I'm not a financial advisor. I can't give any advice on it or anything. Just I have to say that legally and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. And can I just say legally as well, I am not a financial advisor, yeah. But I can help you.
You make money.
Yeah. I can help you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say it legally, so you know. Yeah, I'm not, but come
drop
to me.
Drop me a DM.
Yeah, I do a lot of FX.
Yeah, yeah.
I love FX.
So I'll tell you just briefly what the app is, super quick. So it's discretionally managed financial investment app. We have three different portfolios on there, so you can choose one of each or all three
if you want. Are the different portfolios?
So you've got climate change, disruptive technology, and esports. And then you can just choose each. Esports is...
Yeah, booming.
Yeah, you know, the whole gaming industry and stuff, it's really blowing up out there and stuff. So you choose one of each or all of them and do a monthly direct debit and off you go, really, with your investments. It can go up and down, obviously.
I'm happy to sort of put my name to this. It sounds wonderful. Sounds like something.
I don't think they're asking you to do that.
No. Well, they're not, but I will. But I do think it'd be thinking about another area that you probably haven't thought about. Have you looked at the built-on market?
Ever so slightly. You're on about like the meat built on.
Yeah.
First of all, I love that.
It's so good.
Well,
I don't get many brand deals, but I get a lot of built on. And I love it.
When I was on Dance with the Stars, they used to send it me all the time and stuff because they've got it big out in Ireland and everything. Yeah. I used to love it.
I definitely think you should look at diversifying your portfolio and going into built on. It's on the up. I've been in the built on market for what, 5 years?
Longer. Six, seven.
And I mean, now's the best time to buy. It's like, it moves like crypto, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I've lost a lot. I'm down. Yeah. I'm down.
But you've had a lot of good meat.
Yeah.
I'll be calling my business partner after this saying Biltong is the way forward.
I'll call Wes afterwards. It sounds great.
We're moving more to education, to be fair. We want to educate the masses, educate everyone. I feel like it's really lacking in this country, financial literacy and all of this and that. I feel like we need to improve on that.
On a serious note, I mean, I don't know a lot of people from Love Island. I've come across one who's like a mega fan, Casey?
Casey, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The guy goes like this.
Yeah, he's always like, what's up?
Yeah, that's a real talent. I love that.
Who's the Irish girl we interviewed?
Who's the Irish girl we interviewed?
Guy.
The Irish guy.
Rugby player.
Clearly not that good then.
Greg
O'Shea.
Yeah, lovely guy.
He's on my season. He won my season.
We nicknamed him No Chat Pat.
No,
but lovely chassis. But
yeah,
he's,
great chassis.
Is it dangerous becoming involved in a financial theme? Just because obviously you do see all these people.
This is a serious question.
Obviously, you're a massively influential person, especially young people.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting to get into. Like, do you feel a responsibility? Because there'll be young people who don't.
Absolutely.
And what do you do to regulate that?
We're fully FCA approved, so Financial Conduct
Controlled
Authority. So everything you can be, we are connected with and stuff. the scary part is there is a lot of people out there, which the FCA are cracking down on now, which are not regulated, and they were putting loads of advice out. And that's when it becomes a little bit tricky, because unregulated people are just throwing advice out, and it's not always the correct advice. And you have to be careful, because it's people's money. That's people's lives. Yeah. Money does go up and it does go down in the markets. Yeah. And if you're not smart with it, or you don't know what you're doing, that's why I always say leave it to the experts. Unfortunately, you can lose everything. Or it can work out. It goes both ways.
For a lot of my friends, like, I went to private school and I don't really have an advisor. I just use my friend's parents, because what I've historically seen is like those people, you know, like if money just keeps coming.
Yeah.
So and working out how to do an app, it'll be like called the Family Corner, and I'll get like William, Charles, and like Bertie, and I'll probably get Simba's dad. I've got a mate called Simba. We call him because it's, well, it's his stepdad, because we call him Simba because his dad died when he's young. But we just get them all in an app, and you can like have a chat with them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I've got a couple of, I think minimum spend would be like 20K.
Yeah. Oh, it's a good idea.
Yeah, so, if you want to get involved in that.
I'm involved.
But none of the FCA. I don't want to hear that.
Regulated. Yeah,
keep it exclusive.
Yeah.
I want to get back to you and your brother. 2020, apparently you're having a big feud. What happened?
What didn't happen, to be fair?
You guys falling out the whole time?
No, me and AJ, we call it debates.
Right, okay.
That's what I'll say, you know. It's a heated argument. Sometimes we'll hang up the dance shoes and we'll get the gloves.
He's the older brother, right?
He is the older brother, but he looks about 12 years old.
Is he still doing Strictly?
No, he's not. He was so unfortunate, right? Well, so he did it for 4 years. He made the semi-final every single year. I do think he should have made the final. Yeah. And then the year that he quit for me and him to do loads of work together.
Yeah.
Lockdown happened, and then we lost all of the work, and then his whole momentum just went.
Because you were going to go and tour together, right?
Yeah, so we did a tour, but it got cut short
because of COVID.
Because of COVID, I whispered in his ear, literally. I just said to him, I said, AJ, just so you know, it's been posted all on social media, the rest of the tour's been cancelled. And then I just pushed him on for him to do his dance. I said, good
luck. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Talk us about Love Island.
And to be fair, he funded all of that himself.
Really?
To be fair. So,
what's he doing now?
What does
he do now? Does he look back on that? Like, obviously, you can't tell him because he's not a story, but that's quite a big thing to give up. And then, like, what's he doing now? Is that quite scary?
He's done like things like I'm a Celeb still. He's done loads of other TV programs, but he's also a business partner of mine and Wes as well. So Vince Invest by Iron Market. He's really connected on that. And at the moment, he's a businessman, if you want the truth.
Can he get back into Strictly though?
The possibility could come up.
How does that work? Just some random person?
I think he would love to do Dance with the Stars America.
Yeah, that's the big
one. That'd be a cool one. Let's because it's done there. Strictly, so then it's like a sort
also,
of...
Also, Strictly feels like it's dying now, right?
I have not watched
Claudia,
it for a couple
leaving.
Of years. Yeah, they're leaving. Yeah.
I personally...
They've been on for 21 years, haven't they, or something? They've been there like the whole time.
Tess has been there from the beginning, but rumour is today in the paper that Chris Robshaw is odds on favourite to be one of the presenters.
And rightly so.
He can really, really good guy.
Great dancer, great host.
Have you met Chris?
I haven't, to be fair.
He is brilliant.
You missed out this
articulate,
year.
Credible, funny. He's meant to be in there.
Would you do it?
Would I do it? Would you dance? You'd be good.
No, I'm too busy.
Yeah.
It's like anything. I'm just too busy.
You can't give that many weekends.
I've only got 25 days.
You'd have to give rugby up.
You've
already done that now.
No, I'm playing for Richmond.
I'd
have to give it rugby, and rugby's my life on the weekends. And then you think about, I love going out with the rugby boys. I mean, I'm a single father, okay?
Yeah.
To a daughter called Johnny Jono.
I don't know why I was about to say congratulations to that.
You can say congratulations. She has a wonderful relationship with the nanny. And actually, same thing that with your brother. Like, I have those debates with my daughter. Sometimes, you know, I have to have pretty strict rules.
Win the debate?
I don't put boxing gloves on because she's three. I'd absolutely knock her out. She wouldn't have a chance physically. But do I win? I mean, again, she's not very articulate. So yeah, I do. I mean, she's not really got a very good debating technique. All she seems to do is just lie on the floor and cry.
Which is quite a good way to do it.
Yeah.
2019 though, come on Love Island, and then you go and you do Love Island Games, Love Island All Stars, Celebs Go Dating. I mean, you've done them all.
Yeah, and I'm still single.
And you're still single.
Yeah, something went wrong, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right. But
you're not meant to agree with that.
Oh no, sorry, I disagree. But
no, what? I agree with it. No.
But like when Greg came on, he was telling us a couple of the tricks of the trade, some weird things which happen off camera. Can you remember anything sort of Love Island wise?
The weird thing is when you have like dinner time, they try not to show any of it, so they tend to put a boys' table and a girls' table together. So girls are over here, boys are over here, because we always always want to talk about what's going on. And what normally happens is producers will come in and just absolutely tear us a new one for talking. Because if they don't film it, right, let's say we're together in a relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at lunchtime, all of a sudden we have a massive argument. So when we come back onto camera, all of a sudden we've loved each other. Now we hate each other. We look like psychos.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Things like that, they try and protect us and stuff. So
right.
That's what goes on at the whole lunchtime, dinner time, separate tables, quietness, don't talk, don't do this and that. They call it crap chat time.
Right.
Just do your own thing. That's the most weirdest thing.
And any chance you can like nip off somewhere where the cameras don't see you with a girl?
No. The toilets, there's cameras in there. Yeah. The showers,
really,
there's
toilets?
Cameras in.
Yeah, that's so, very much like my house.
Yeah.
Security reasons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I also like, if I'm working from home at lunchtime, I like to play it back.
I thought it was just in case the women have come home and
No, I wouldn't film that.
No, ever.
They
signed an NDA.
Yeah.
So there's literally nowhere to be.
Nowhere. Yeah. And if you want to relieve yourself in terms of a bit of your own time, you'd go to the bathroom normally, but there is a camera that just is zoomed in on you.
So there's someone who's got a lot of footage of a lot of people.
Yes.
I like to sit down wee so they wouldn't get anything.
Don't you talking about weeing though.
No, there's a camera in the toilet as well.
Oh, right. Okay. Can I just ask a question? Because I'm fascinated by Love Island, all those
ask
things.
Ask away.
And obviously you were saying at the beginning of this that, you know, haven't been on a date through it. Do you think like there could be, it's like bad for your mental health? I mean, I know there's been some bad things, but like you're saying, you're doing these programs and then you find a relationship only on these programs.
Yeah.
Is that like, is that scary for you? How old are you, Curtis?
I'm 29. 29.
Okay. So we're similar age.
So I'm not getting younger.
Yeah. No, but I mean,
I do want kids. On
a serious note, how long can you like, does it take its toll on you? Because you'll have a perception to public. People are like open to your relationships, your private life. Does it take a toll? And do you ever think, look, one day I want to just disappear, or can you not? Are you kind of addicted to it? And is it competitive with the other people on it?
For me, it's a really good question what you've just asked there.
Yeah, well,
actually, it really is.
Yeah.
It's for me, I don't feel any different from doing the program or not doing the program. But when you are on there, people are going on there because they do want to boost their profile. They do want to do all of this and that. So you don't 100% know who is being legitimately real sometimes. That can play on your mind and mental health a little bit in there. I try and go in as organic as possible and open-minded and not think like that, but it is always in the back of your mind, I'd say slightly. And then when you do come out, it isn't exactly normal, just day-to-day life. You're doing all of these amazing things, yada, 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 and then that can die down. And then that can also affect the relationship that's happened from TV you're thinking everything's flying, it's really good, so you're both really happy. And then once you're in that downtime, that's when you see
Lorraine
cracks,
gone,
that's when,
GMTV gone.
Exactly. Yeah. All these big things. And that's when it can play on your mind a bit. And you realize, is this real? Is it not real? Is it just all hype in the moment? And that can play on your mind a bit. I would say to some people, when you come back into the public eye, you don't know what they actually do want, if it's real or not as well. So it can play on your mind. I try not to live like that. Otherwise, I think mentally affect me.
Yeah.
It would.
But is it competitive with the other guys who come out of Love Island? Because you're all on the sort of same, in a way, on the same kind of thing. You're doing the same things.
I've always...
Does it become quite bitchy between the guys?
Nah, not between me anyway, because I've always sort of done my own thing, been on my own path.
Since
I was 8 years old, I had my first job. I've been a professional dancer, represented England in the world's dancing. Then I've done all this amazing TV stuff. Now I'm part of a financial investment company trying to change education and make a big difference.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm doing all the things that I've wanted to do in my life, so I don't compare myself to anyone else.
Okay.
I wanted to make an app and I wanted to make a difference from a young age.
Yeah.
And I do feel like I'm sort of doing that in a way.
What was your first job when you were 8?
I worked at a mountain boarding centre.
Whoa.
So what that is, it's a skateboard with big wheels and you basically go down the side of a mountain. I used to kit up all the adults. Basically, we wanted to ride every single day and it cost a bit of money and mum and dad didn't have a lot of money and stuff.
Yeah.
So we were like, hang on, we can work here, therefore we can ride for free and stuff. And we had all this big conversation and it worked out really well for us. So we could go for free. And then we just used to kit up adults and stuff. And I think it's great actually because it teaches you from a young age.
Yeah, yeah.
Bit of discipline, a bit of control, a bit of command and a way of talking to people. Yeah. I think more younger people in this world should do stuff like that.
We used to pick up your dad's cartridges when he went shooting.
Yeah, but that was my first job. But that was when I was 4.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had a hard life.
Yeah, yeah.
But then obviously that stopped when they broke up.
Yeah.
And then I had to go to boarding school.
Don't remember it, don't you?
Yeah, I do. It was wonderful.
Playing AC/DC, wasn't it?
That was when I was 4 and 5, and I'm like, Dad, I found one. And then he sent me at age 6, I was going to get the pheasants.
Yeah.
I just sent me out in the field. It was me and the dogs.
Yeah.
and there was I was actually as good as some of the top dogs.
Well,
oh, and wow. I remember it, this is a wonderful memory. Just before I got into boarding school, my dad went on a shoot, and I went to go get a pheasant. I remember my dad just like that, rubbing my hair.
Oh yeah,
you know, like that, and
like
came,
a dog.
No, and then because I was well trained, he said sit, and then lie down, and then he'd rub me down, and then the little treat.
Oh, so yeah, just okay.
Yeah, and I was a lovely thing, and then. Yeah. I remember that was that's how he broke to I was going to boarding school because I came into room. I'd just been playing football with Hector, my brother, who I got really well with. And then I ran in and he said, sit. And I came and I sat. And then he said, lie down. Right. And then he said, heel. And I came right next to him and he lied down again. Yeah. And then he said, you're off to boarding school, seven. Your mum and me are broken up.
Right.
Wow. She's moving out. Mm. And then I tried to ask questions, but obviously, come on.
Yeah.
And then to your bed. Right. And I went to my bed. And then next thing I know, I'd come down, the staff, my nanny and the butler, they'd packed up my room into a little briefcase and off I went.
Mm. Did you miss the rubs down at college? Did you get the boy?
I still have that. I had a geography teacher I was very close to called Mr. Matthews. But that relationship, I can't really go into too much detail. You know, you'll be knowing this, but you know, there'll be things that we ask you don't want to go into.
Absolutely.
I don't want to go into, but I mean, nowadays, my dad's my best friend, the big guy. You'd love him. Like, really good. He's very clued up on finances.
Yeah.
As soon as Labour got in, we put all our finances out of the country. He
clever,
moved out.
Clever,
moved out.
Clever.
Because he wasn't paying for everyone else.
Yeah.
And I mean, the hard thing is I don't get to see him now. But even now, you know, if I see him, you know, the thing when I see him, like if I saw him, he goes.
Whistles, yeah.
And I run to him. Yeah, because that whistle's nearly got nostalgia for me. Wow. And then he'd be like, here, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember just being next to him. And then he'd be like, ew.
Right.
And then that way.
Is that where you got your taste of protein?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's, no, I didn't eat the pheasant. I wasn't allowed to. I had
the little treat.
Out of your mouth, though.
No, the treat. The treat was just like, yeah, it was like, do you know Cheerios?
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
a few of those.
Okay.
But, can I just ask, what's it like a football game, a rugby game, when they like blow the whistle or something then?
That can be traumatic. PTSD, but the whistle in football, like that. But if someone goes...
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking for him. It's amazing. But no, it's a beautiful relationship.
Well, talking about you and your brother Hector, obviously you and your brother AJ did a bit of acting together in Hollyoaks.
Oh, wow.
2021.
Yes.
What was that experience like? I mean, I loved it. Some people didn't.
Oh, my God. Right. You know what?
I loved it.
I had a great time.
Yeah.
But it was the worst acting you will ever
see. No, I thought it was good.
TV.
But how did that come about?
Well, it was lockdown. And you know, when people were just looking for jobs, I actually felt bad for all the other actors because people have acted all their life. And then you get me and AJ that have never acted at all. And then we get a call from Hollyoaks saying, would you like to come on and do a little cameo and stuff?
It's
and
good
we were
fun.
Like, hell yeah. Mum always said, if someone says, do you want to try something?
Definitely.
Give it a go. Throw yourself into
it. Yeah, yeah.
Except
if it's drugs. yeah.
So
if someone says cocaine, don't. But I'm just making that clear.
Yeah. Because you had to give up.
Yeah, creatine.
Pre-workout.
Okay, Karen. Sorry, Karen.
Creatine, great.
Well, I just had to make that. go on.
So we thought, let's do this. Let's get ourselves into it. So we did it. And you know, when you try and act, it just isn't good. And I tried to act. I was stood in the
just
mirror.
Be natural.
Say my lines. I was like this and that. Come on, you've got to get angry. You've got to be in it. And wow, it was awful. And you know what? It did dishearten me a little bit because I really thought I was going to be good at this. And then I wasn't.
I thought you were good.
What happened?
Well, you were in the playground, weren't you?
Yeah, we're in a playground and my brother came in and he was on this Ferris wheel and he was like, how's Trish? And this and that. And I was like, oh, finally, you know, it's taking your ages to come here. All of this and that. And the acting was...
Did you only do one ep?
No, we did four eps.
You did four eps.
Yeah, tiny little bits.
And what was the feedback like?
Mate, it went viral, hundreds of millions of views.
Yeah. Oh,
Hollyoaks has never had so much publicity. It went global, all for the wrong reason.
And did they want you to stay on?
Well, they haven't killed us off.
Your mum must have loved it though, right?
She did.
I thought she was a big fan of Hollyoaks.
Yeah, I don't know if she loved it or hated it. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, you know what? It was an experience and I did enjoy it.
There's nothing like bad publicity, but like any publicity is good publicity.
You know what? Nothing actually gets me down bar acting. And I'll be true for this. We've done a couple of things, like some different brand deals. We did one with some donuts and I thought, let's do an acting piece. Let's try and make it really good. And yet again, I tried my hardest to do this, that acting about donuts and stuff. It was Oreo donuts, it was.
Yeah.
They were lovely.
Wow.
And I was like, my brother came down, he threw them to me, I ate it, and I was trying to act really cool and really like smart and good. And I just got slated on social media. And that's one of the things I've done that actually got to me.
Well,
a little
I think
bit.
Be natural. You're a beautiful man. You're well, a good person.
You know when you want to be good at something and it just doesn't work? I look back at it now and I realize, like, you know what? It's just not for
There's
me.
No need to
I couldn't act. I couldn't act. Like all that, you know, being a character. Just that's not for me. You. Like what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
I mean, that if you
love him or hate him.
To think, because I've got a lot of respect for people who just play like a character.
Yeah.
They're unbelievable. Yeah. Just
Must
most
be
yeah.
Yeah, most people on Love
talented,
Island.
Talented.
We're
talented.
Talking about acting though. You enjoy Panto, Ditwit and Cinderella.
Oh, love it. Yeah.
Do we have another one this year?
We do. So it's the fifth year of doing Cinderella. Yeah.
Whereabouts?
We are Llandudno at Venue Cymru, it is. So North Wales.
North Wales. Llandudno Wales or Llandudno?
Llandudno.
Llandudno.
Geth and Jones did one last year.
Yeah.
Down
you know what? Panto's
Who's in the panto with you?
So it's me and my brother. He's Prince Charming. Okay. I'm Dandini. So I'm like the matchmaker role.
Have you already been rehearsing?
No, we start 1st of December.
So, any other big names?
Well, you got the Pritchard Brothers.
Okay. Wow. Just you two. Yeah.
But I mean, so you learn it all quite quickly, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Cinderella. We've done the script so many times. Like, it changes each year, but how much can it change? Like, she finds a prince, she loses a slipper. Yeah.
And do you stay down there for the whole run?
Down where? Yeah. We get put up in a little whatever hotel or place.
What songs do you sing? Like,
so I sing the first song I sang on Panto was Let Me Entertain You, Robbie Williams.
Oh,
what a band.
We can do,
No, we got it. I'm warmed up, you see. And then the other one is Dancing Fool, Coco Cabana.
Oh, yeah.
And then I Just Haven't Met You Yet.
So they're basically all the songs you hear in Inferno.
Exactly.
Yeah, wonderful.
Didn't your fellow cast members prank you once with your costume or something? Did I read that?
Oh, no, but I tell you what has happened before. They have pranked me with getting my entire lower part of my body waxed. I was doing a drag queen show. It's called Priscilla Queen of the Desert many years ago, before Love Island. And obviously, you're a drag queen. You've got to be smooth and clean and stuff. So we're all in heels and everything, and I was in my short shorts. Mm. And then the producer and all of the other guys said, you're going to have to get your legs waxed because I'm a hairy guy. I'm like from down below, I'm a hairy man.
Let's have a look.
So, I've got my boxing socks on. You see what
I
mean?
You didn't have to pay
nice
for that.
Cuffs. Yeah, nice cuffs.
Thank you, mate. Yeah, I've been working on them. Yeah.
What's the guy you're going to box called?
Chase DeMore.
Yeah, he doesn't have cuffs.
No,
yeah.
Tosser.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I went to get my legs waxed. Took 4 hours to get it all done. And it was the worst thing ever. I came in the day after and they go, we're only joking. You didn't need to do that. I thought, you absolute bastards.
Geez.
Just before we get into chat and chat, how come you started dancing? I mean, not many people... dance.
So my dad was next world champion,
right?
So, but he never wanted me and my brother to dance. He pushed us into like extreme sports. We didn't push us. We always wanted to extreme sports and this and that. That's where the mountain board came from.
Yeah.
Then an opportunity to go on TV happened when I was about 11 years old.
Yeah.
And it was a dancing program. It never got aired on TV, thank God.
Mm.
And we took part in it, and I did absolutely awful. But that's where I had to start learning to dance. And I sort of don't know. I got this adrenaline rush from it, from being stood on the side of the dance floor. I was like, wow, this is cool. And then just trained from there and became
do
not
Do you
too
miss
bad.
It now?
I miss performing.
Yeah.
I do. I did a tour 2 years ago, and truthfully, so let me just run you through quickly. So I danced up until I was about 17.
Yeah.
Fell out of love with it a little bit because it's very political. By that, I mean there's 12 judges around the dance floor, or 11 sometimes. And if you're going to them judges for dance lessons, you tend to be paying them money.
Yeah.
They're going to mark you better and stuff.
Yeah.
And I got really fed up with that element of stuff because it costs so much money. Like I said, didn't have all the money in the world. And then, so I stopped dancing for a little bit, did a load of TV work, and now I've lost my train of thought. Where did we go from the start of this?
Well, no, you were saying, I want to go back.
You want to give us the potted history of your dancing?
You fell out of love at 17. You started at 11 because you were on a TV show.
Yeah, where did I go?
Then you got into Strictly Ireland when you were 19.
And I said, do you miss it? And you said,
no,
you
I miss it.
Before.
Sorry, yeah, that was yeah, it. Yeah. Yeah. And then I stopped dancing for a little.
Luckily, I'm here.
The boxing ain't doing me good, is it? And then I did a load of TV stuff, and then, because I hadn't danced in a while, I finally got back to doing a tour. And it was a short tour that we did, and it was Come What May It Was. So it was a Moulin Rouge tribute show. And I'm not even joking. Through the whole rehearsal process, I just fell back in love with performing. It was one of the best things ever. Something I'd done all my life, and I'm good at it.
Yeah.
It just felt so good to be doing it. And I did the tour and everything, and that made me miss dancing. It really, really did.
Before we just get into chat, no chat, and Clubhouse Stories, just quickly. So, like, what is the plan? Because I'm so interested, intrigued with like someone in your position.
Yes,
you're 29 years old. You've done Love Island multiple times. Over a million followers, which is
The feeling must be amazing.
I've got that on LinkedIn. I haven't got it on Instagram. like, what do you want to do? Like, do you keep doing these shows? And how much have you got left in doing those shows? And if so, why would you do those shows? Is it just the is it kind of like, in a very serious way, is it a merry-go-round of just keeping your profile out there to then hopefully affect Flint to make it grow? Or what do you do? Because you say you love performing, but that's not really performing.
So that's a good question. I love doing the TV programs. I do. I've done them for a long time now. And to be fair, the boxing is now taking over.
Okay.
Yeah, what I want to do is maybe do a couple more TV programs. I'm a Celeb would be a cool one to do. Yeah. Strictly, I would possibly do to tick it off as well.
Okay.
But ideally now, I love the boxing. It's something that I wanted to do when I was younger and I'm getting the opportunity to do it. So that's my career path for the next 5 to 6, 7 years.
I'd like to see you on Strictly.
And Fintinvest. Trying to genuinely grow that and help educate as many people as possible.
Okay, but
that's
with,
my two avenues.
But with the boxing, right? You have a fight, you lose. Where does that do you just keep coming back and back and back? And like how you
when I lose, I'll let you know.
No, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, come on. Okay. He's not.
But
like
who's likely to be your next opponent then? He's not going to be that guy from America.
It won't be him just yet because he has some other people that he is fighting definitely. I don't know. The heavyweight division is nice. There's a couple of new guys which are coming into it. I've only had one fight, so I could start with somebody that's quite fresh. Mm. But
sounds like boarding school in a way.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
the third form has come in.
Start with a fresh one.
So truthfully, I don't really know. I'll fight anyone in the heavyweight division.
Okay.
If you want the honest truth.
You're not heavy.
In the
how
Misfits
heavy
you heavyweight division.
How have you do?
94 upwards.
94, okay.
Yeah, nice.
Well, yeah, I'm 105 now.
I'm sorry.
I mean, unless like Alexander Usyk comes in.
I would fight you, but I think I'd get the better of you pre-match with that. And my chat with the machine gun.
You may get beat.
I'll just be doing...
Yeah.
That's it.
He knows how to get you now.
Okay.
Just quickly, did your brother ever say the other male dancers on Strictly were like they seem kind of horrible in a way?
No, we just always spoke highly of them. Bar Anton de Beck, he said he's not. No, I'm joking. Yeah, everyone was like, "Whoa!"
I've met Anton de Beck. He's lovely.
Anton's lovely. No, we know Anton.
He's matured. He's matured nicely. He looks better nowadays.
He's a phenomenal golfer.
I always knew he was going to be on the panel of Strictly. He was from the start, and he deserved to be on the panel.
Well, let's do chat or no chat. So now we're going to read out 10 of your sort of associates, and you're going to say you've got to be brutal if they got chat or no chat.
Yeah, sound. I'll do it.
Okay, Tommy Fury.
You know what? He has no chat and it works.
Maura Higgins.
She does have chat.
Okay. Your brother, AJ.
I've never seen him try and pull someone at all, but I love his fiance, so I'm going to say he's got chat. No, he has no chat. What am I on about?
Amy Hart.
Sorry, Amy, you've got no chat.
Giovanni Pernice.
Oh my God. I've worked with him quite a lot. The guy can talk, but he ain't got no chat.
Okay. Tommy Mallett?
Nah, I say no chat.
Ovi Soko?
He's just so cool, so calm. He doesn't even need chat. You just look at him.
Yeah.
And me saying there's a straight man, and I'm
like, fall in love.
Wow. Yeah.
Amber Gill?
Oh, I love your Amber, but you got no chat, though.
Wayne Lineker? How many nights out have you had with him?
I know Wayne well.
Yeah.
Can't talk about everything we've done together, but Wayne has absolutely Wayne's got chat.
He's sober now. Sober, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is.
Lovely day, isn't
he? He's 30 nah. He's 30 days sober.
Wayne obviously that IB. So what Wayne
is a potter.
He loves Ibiza and stuff, but then when he finishes, he cleans up, he does everything super good and everything, and then obviously Ibiza all starts up again and stuff. But
Finally, Molly Mae Hegg.
No chat.
Well, that was a beautiful chat.
That was a beautiful thing. We're coming to the end, but obviously at the end of our podcast, we are predominantly a rugby podcast.
Yes, yeah.
So we have a thing called Clubhouse Stories.
S&C coach called Sean Vine. He used to be big in rugby and stuff. I don't know all the ins and outs. I'll have to let you know.
Well, drop me a message. I don't know him, but this weekend I went to go and watch my first rugby league match.
Yeah.
Surrounded by Northerners. A wonderful experience. The Northern people are lovely people.
Lovely guys.
I was a beautiful story. In my seats next to me were a couple of guys from Wigan, a father and a son, and they were just necking rubber cokes. I mean, the son was 14.
Yeah. Incredible.
But beautiful. And he told me that he said, go and get wife to transfer me £500. We're going to go out in London.
Well, did you know? I don't know if this is true or not, but I read it the other day that you can, if, as long as I think it's over I think it's 14 years or over that you can actually drink. You just can't buy a drink at the bar and you can't drink it at the bar. But you can legally drink it, I think, like in a pub garden or in other areas like that. Fact check me on that, because I read it the other day. But I think that's true.
Well, a lot of audience are 14. They're going to get very excited.
Right. I think your parents
have
to buy it.
I might open up my garden
stuff,
at my home and just say, just drink
it.
Yeah. Right. This is a message from John Wilmer. Okay.
Wilmer.
My pal's story time.
Here we go. So this is loosey-goosey.
Should I be worried?
Yes.
He says, on my first rugby lads holiday to Kos.
The shop or the
placing
in Greece?
I think.
Oh, right. Because there's Kos closing.
Yeah.
But he wasn't in a shop.
No. Age 17. We'd been getting sick.
So he could drink.
Yeah. We'd been getting stick off some football types in the hotel.
Oh, God. They're the worst. Kevball likers. Yeah. I hate Kevball.
One night we found their door open and the ringleader on the balcony passed out at about 5 a.m.
Oh,
and
they
we'd come
push
back
him
for
off?
Night out.
Because they'd have to go to Dubai, like HS Tiki Toki.
The summer's coming up. We've been on the lash solidly for a week. My mate Andrew, who's our prop forward at 20 stone.
Oh, poor bloke.
He's much bigger now, 24 plus.
Oh, so he's unhappy. He's eating through unhappiness. They find a lot of those people, there's trauma, and they find eating helps them.
Stood over the fast asleep ringleader, and he shat out a dustbin lid size, runny, smelly cow pat on the sleeping victim's neck and chest.
Oh, that's really good banter.
Can I just, is this a rugby thing? Because I have spoke to so many rugby people and they go toilet anywhere.
If we went on holiday together, now we're really good mates, I would probably we're really good mates, I'd probably take a poo on you.
Sweet, mate. Yeah. Bring it in. Yeah. I'm down. We're in.
Well, to this day, I can still smell it. We emptied the football type's fridge on the way out as well. Serves the fuckers right. Andrew now works in finance. The big guy. Yeah.
Fair place. And you know what? He'll be good for a lunch.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to connect with him. Do we have a surname?
We've only got Andrew, but he's a friend of John Wilmer's.
John Wilmer. Okay, yeah. I'll look up John Wilmer and then find Andrew. 24 stone. His profile picture will be like,
fairly fit in.
Right,
Curtis, thank you so much for coming on, mate.
Thank you very, very much. It was really interesting.
What are you doing for Halloween?
I don't know. I need to find out about my next boxing match.
Yeah.
Because it possibly could be in Dubai on December 20th. So I'm like sort of in my training camp right now.
You don't know whether to let go or...
This is the thing,
Well, Curtis, thank you so much for coming.
You know what you really should do when people ask you that question? You should sort of like maybe put in something for Fint. But I don't know. I guess I'll be checking Fint at Halloween and then, just a free advertising.
Can we just clip that? That's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, check out Fint. Yeah. Curtis, thanks so much for coming in, mate. Give you a follow. Archie, we'll see you at Halloween.
Yeah, it's gonna be a really good one.
What are you guys up to?
I'm taking my daughter trick-or-treating. And I mean, I don't even know the story of... I met a girl in a nightclub who I thought was American, but turned out she was from Middlesbrough.
Oh.
So I paid off the family with a brown envelope. And now my daughter lives with me. She's called Johnny Johnny. And it's one of the happiest days of my life because she was born in Middlesbrough, which will unfortunately be on her passport for the rest of her life. But we Ubered her down, which was like a 4-hour Uber, but it was worth it because you know you can watch them come all the way down in like their little app. And I remember when it got to the M25, my heart, you know,
she's
it just
home.
Went because it was coming around the M25 and then into Clapham. And during that 4 hours period, I was thinking, God, what am I going to do? And then I was just saying to Freddie before, what's amazing is it's a wonderful networking opportunity because where I live in Clapham, there's a lot of high net worth individuals, and I never know where they live or where they live. So we go trick-or-treating. She doesn't really know what's going on, but I get to basically find out who's really wealthy and successful in my area. Because you open the door and buy the decor, she takes the sweets and I take the LinkedIn connection.
Well, so does it go if they're giving like Lindor chocolate out or if it's like
Or sometimes do the Dubai pistachio chocolate.
Then you know they're on the run.
And normally it's the wife and then I'm like, this is lovely. Well, what is your husband in?
Yeah.
What does he do?
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
Business
He's in plumbing. Right, quickly get the stuff and go.
Right, Archie, thanks so much, Curtis. Thank you so much. We'll see
thanks,
you all again
Curtis.
Next week.
Legends. Yeah, cheers. More less, I need more less.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.